Bless his holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Give us a few minutes after the service, because we do have some stuff we have to talk about for this coming Saturday. So give me a few minutes after service. Hallelujah. As I began to prepare for this message, God started showing me. He said, on your money you've got in God we trust. And he said, what you need to have is say in your life, in God I trust. So I named this message, in God I trust. Amen. Speaking for myself. Now each one must make their own decisions on whether they really know and they really have this confidence in themselves that in Christ all things have been provided for. If we don't understand and we don't relate to that trust, if we know what he says but it doesn't seem to be working for us, then somehow there's been a wall put up between your knowledge of what he says and him and the trust that you have in him. Amen. Amen? Amen? Because without the trust, you'll never receive from the Lord. Now, he does miracles, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say he will never do this or never do that. I never say never where God is concerned, because God is God. And I'm not going to tell them what to do, although we do that a lot of times, don't we? We start to tell them, okay, Lord, you said that if I give, it shall be given unto me, press down, get in. Now start giving. Start giving. And a lot of times we say, and the end of it was, it must not work. And what happens in the where God says that by his stripes you were healed, but it doesn't seem to be working. What's the problem? What's the separation from what he says and what is happening in our life? Trust comes, and I'm only going to go over this quickly. We'll go over it more later on. I wrote it down. Trust comes more basically in two ways, and I'm going to elaborate more later on that. But this one is in hearing. When you listen to someone and you start to understand where they're coming from and who they are, now all of a sudden you can start trusting them. But the second part of that is observing. I've seen what they've done. I've heard what they said. And I can believe and trust that they will do what they said. Jesus said it this way. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only speak what I hear my Father speaking. He knew and trusted that what his Father told him to do, and trusted that what he asked the Father, it would be given to him. He trusted God. He trusted God to the point of death. He trusted God to the point that he'd raise him from the grave. There was somebody else who did the same thing. So what I'm saying to you is this morning is, do you trust God? If everything is going wrong in your life, can you still say, I trust God? If you've prayed and believed God for years for something and you haven't seen it come to pass yet, do you still trust God? Are you putting trust in your prayer? Are you putting trust in what you do? See, I'm talking to myself because that's where I'm coming from. It's so easy to fall into that trap. It's so easy to fall into that trap of putting trust in what you said. Okay, I've confessed with my mouth, I believe with my heart that I'm saved. So I'm saved. You're saved. You have trust the one, God. Do you trust him to raise you from the dead in the resurrection if you die? Do you trust him to take you to heaven instead of let you go to hell? It's not your words to get you there. That's part of the process. It's God who brings you there, not us. So we can't start, we got to start looking at, oh, you mean what I've said? I'm not saying what you said is not important. It is. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your faith and trust in the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day and is seated in heaven interceding for you right now, yes, you're saved. Praise God. But I have to keep my trust in God to keep me in that position. Amen. That when the day comes, I'll go there. Amen. We say, okay, I trust God. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, I think it is, he says, it's impossible to please God without faith, right? Because you must believe that he is, that's faith. You believe he is, that's faith. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that's trust. Think about it. All right, I trust him that he's going to keep me until that day when I need to be either resurrected or I've been taken up when he comes back for his bride. So, I got to trust that he's going to keep me. That means I put my faith in him as Savior. Amen? I trust he's my Redeemer. He redeemed me from the curse of the law. I trust him as my Redeemer. When he said, if you seek me diligently, we know him as Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. Do we know him as Jehovah Rapha, our healer? We see him, and we've experienced it. Some of us have experienced his grace and his mercy and his love. And we have experienced and watched others be healed. But when you fight the battle over a lengthy period of time, does your trust in him wane? Does your trust in him to keep you until he finishes the work in you wane? Do we put trust in doctors, in medicine, but not trusting him as healer, not trusting his word as our medicine? Oh, that means you can't go. No, I'm not saying that. There's nothing wrong with doctors. But let me ask you a question. If you're going to a doctor, and you know he's a doctor because you see the things on the wall and it says doctor, and he came out of this, and he's a doctor, but you don't trust him, would you go back to him? If you trust Jesus, do you keep going back to him? Do you understand? There's going to be a trust that's going to cause you to do things that seem strange, even to yourself at times. All right, let's go back a little bit. Proverbs 3. I'm going to read this. Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. I'm going to read it out of the Living Bible translation. Listen to what he says. If you want a long and satisfying life, closely follow my instructions. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. If you want favor with both God and man, and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust in the Lord completely. Don't trust in yourself. In everything you do, put God first. He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Don't be conceited. Don't be sure of your own wisdom. Instead, trust and reverence the Lord and turn your back on evil. When you do that, then you'll be given renewed health and vitality. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. Young man, do not resent it when God chastens and corrects you, for his punishment is proof of his love. Just as a father punishes a son he delights in to make him better, so the Lord corrects you. If you want favor with both God and man, and a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust in the Lord completely. Don't ever trust in yourself. The words translated trust in the Bible literally mean a bold, confident, sure security or action based on that security. And if Romans 12:3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." What he was saying here is, listen, there's a difference between faith and trust. Faith is a gift from God. Everybody's given a measure of faith. But trust comes from your actions between you and God. Amen? Your faith is a gift. God gave you the gift of faith, a measure of faith. Everybody's given that measure of faith. So faith comes by the gift that's given to us through our acceptance of Christ as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of the gift of faith comes into our heart. We now have faith to believe for God. But our trust comes over a period of interaction between us and Him. Trust doesn't just come automatically. I'll probably be a little bold in a little bit. There's many who have been in the pulpit, been in the ministry, who have never learned to trust God. They love Him, they know Him, they serve Him, but they never learn to trust Him. They fall back into their own trust of self and the gift that God has given us. I'm talking for myself here too. Just because somebody's standing in the pulpit, just because you have a ministry of thousands of people, does not mean that you've learned to trust God. You can receive from God. God can do miracles. God can give you the blessings that come out of Abraham. But you need to learn to trust Him so that when you go through those battles, whatever that battle happens to be, you have the confidence and the boldness to be quiet and silent and still know that God is still at work and He will do what He promised to do. I've known people who fought good fights of faith, confessing the Word of God, but never seen the fullness of it because they didn't trust the one they were seeking. Getting quiet. First of all, what is trust? Let's look at Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Defines trust as the belief that someone or something is, listen, reliable, good, honest, or effective. In other words, when we come to a place of trust in God, We have now come to a place where we rely on His goodness and not on our works. Amen? We rely on His goodness. Our works are important only in the relationship to what God has instructed us to do, that we do what He tells us to do, but we do it out of trusting that He will do what He said He would do. I still believe He's God, but it doesn't mean I'm going to do what He tells me to do, because I don't trust that He will do what He said He'd do. Listen to this. This isn't mine, this is somebody else's I've gotten. Rather than trusting is what we do because of the faith we have been given, trusting is believing in the promises of God in all circumstances, even in those where the evidence seems to be the contrary. Hebrews 11 talks about faith, which is accepting and believing the truth that God reveals about Himself supremely in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, the practical consequence of faith in God is trust, which we prove by living out our full acceptance of God's promises day by day. Furthermore, it is by this trust that we are promised peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Because you trust in God, you have peace in every circumstance, no matter how it looks. Fear does not have power over you. Fear will cause you to lose every confidence in God. All right, listen to this. I want to give you a few examples of people who trusted in God and what the results were. We're going to do it scripturally. All right? First of all, Romans 4:3 says this, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness." The first person I want to look at is Abraham. Because Abraham trusted God, he got saved. He trusted God. How do we know he trusted God? Because when God told him to come out of his country, away from his family, he left. Amen. He was going someplace. He had no clue where he was going. Amen. That was tough. That was tough. But he trusted God. And because he trusted God, he was able to get saved for himself, his own salvation. Remember, his righteousness came through faith in God. Remember, faith and trust have to work hand in hand. So he trusted God. He got up and did what God told him to do. And he saved himself. I know somebody's going to say, "God saved me." I understand that. But he had to operate. And he had to do what God told him to do. And he did it only because he trusted God. Listen to the next one. Noah trusted God and saved his family. Abraham himself, Noah, his family. Your trust in God affects other people in your family. Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith." We see in Noah's obedient life, demonstrating in his willingness to obey without question the Lord's commands regarding the ark. Consider that Noah and his generation more than likely had never seen rain before, yet God tells Noah to build a large seagoing vessel nowhere near the body of water because of Noah's trust in God was such that he promptly obeyed. Because he trusted God and knew that God would do what he said he would do, He did something that nobody else could do, or nobody else would do. He built a ship in the middle of a desert where there wasn't any water, except maybe a well. Never saw rain before, probably. And yet, he trusted God enough to do what God told him to do. That's the key. God's going to explain, and he's going to tell you things. I had something happen to me not too long ago. And I came out of a place, and I said to the Lord, is this going to happen? And he said, no. I said, okay. So I didn't tell anybody except Diane, I think, at that time. Came home and told Diane what he said. I said, I can't tell anybody else because nobody else can understand. And it will look like I'm being negative, and it looks like I'm da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, the other day, I'm riding out mowing the lawn, and I said, well, I must have missed it, because I know, Lord, I thought that was your voice. I said, I must, and it shook me, because I wasn't sure I was hearing the voice of God. Once you say, okay, Lord, I believe what you told me, and then all of a sudden it doesn't seem to be coming to pass, and you're getting a different report and all this stuff, it shakes you up. Because, see, I totally depend on God. When I bring you a message, this message wasn't my message to bring you. I was getting it from God, and I'm not trying to brag. I'm just telling you, this is what the hour we need to hear, what it means to trust in God. Amen. We need to. We got faith that we believe that he is. Now we got to know that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That means we got to trust that when we seek him as our healer, as our deliverer, as our provider, that he is going to do what he said he's going to do. Not just because we said it, not because I said it, not because somebody else said it, because your trust is in God and God alone. Amen. Amen? Don't try to live by someone else's faith. Don't try to walk as if you are someone else because you've seen God do this for that person. Don't you say, well, because he did it for them, he'll do it for me. He's no respecter of persons. We know that God loves me just as much as he loves them. Don't go that way. You got to learn to trust God. You got to learn to trust him, just as I'm trying to learn to trust him. And listen to me. When I talk to the Father and I talk to the Lord, I talk to him, he does hear. He hears all our words. He does listen and he responds. You understand? I was riding along and I'm saying to the Lord, I said, well, I guess I messed it up. And I'm to him. Whose voice did I hear? And this is literally, I'm talking to him like this. Whose voice was I listening to? Because I depend on hearing his voice. Not only for here and doing the work here, the word, but I depend on it for myself. And I'm riding along. I said, Lord, I missed it. Whose voice did I hear? That night, exactly what he told me had come to pass. And I found out. It blew me away. God taught me something. I can trust when I hear his voice. It may not come the moment I think it should or it will. It may not come the way I think it might or should. But it'll come to pass. And so what we need to do, you need to hear the voice of God. And you need to trust that you heard the voice of God. Amen? Now, he didn't sound like somebody out there, oh, I'm God. He didn't do that. He just went, in here. I heard it in here. And he said, no. I went, that was all. No. We need to trust God. Abraham learned to trust God. Saved himself. Noah trusted God, saved his family. Listen to this one. David trusted God and saved a nation. Abraham saved himself. Noah saved his family. David saved a nation by his trust in God. Listen to what he said in 1 Samuel 17. 37, and then I'm going 45 through 47. Moreover, David said, The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David trusted God. He had observed what God had done in the past. He knew that God would do it today. He trusted God, and he delivered a whole nation. When everybody else was in hiding, everybody else stopped, everybody else quit, everybody else said, oh, there's nothing we can do. Everybody else trembled in fear. This young boy, they say he was about 13 to 14 to 15, somewhere in there, probably more like 13, stood up, was bold, and spoke God's will. Trusted that God would do exactly what he said he would do. David trusted God that God would do exactly as David said. And saved a nation. Let me ask you a question. Is there a nation that needs saving right now? Are there any Davids who's willing to stand up and proclaim the truth because they trust when they speak that God hears? And it's not about David. That wasn't about David. David had in the back of his mind, you know, hey, what am I going to get if I go out and fight this guy? He's going to get fame and fortune. His ulterior motive was of a young lad, a young boy. He wasn't out there because, you know, I'm the savior of the nation of Israel. He wasn't. He was out there because he trusted God. And he put himself out in that position. And because he trusted God, he saved a nation. All right. How about one more? Jesus trusted God and saved the whole world. Jesus trusted God and saved the whole world. He didn't go to the cross like, oh, ready to die. No. When he's doing in the garden, he got down and he started sweating buckets of blood. He said the pressure was so great on him, and he said it caused blood to come out through his pores. And he said, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass me by. Lord, if there's anybody else you can have do this, if there's anything other ways we can go about this, I'm willing to let it happen. But he said, I trust you, Father. I trust your will to be done. I trust your will to be done. I change. I don't want my will. Trusting God means that I trust you with my life. Every part of it. Everything. I trust you with it. And when things aren't going the way they should go, I'm going to get instructions from you. Because you know the best way for me. What did he say in Jeremiah 29:11? He said, I want you to know something. He said, I got a plan for your life. It's a good plan. It's a plan with a future. It's a plan with hope. But you have to give up your trust in self and learn to put your trust in me. You're going to have to learn to do that. How do we do that? That's something we're going to look at later on. Let's see where I'm at. Okay, I want to give you a couple of these. Let me finish these. Some other ones who did put their trust in God. There was Daniel. In the book of Daniel in chapter 3, it talk about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. There were three young Jewish boys who had taken captive. And because the nation, the people in that nation hated the Jews, they said to Nebuchadnezzar, who was king there, why don't you build an idol and everybody has to bow down and worship the idol? Well, these three only bowed down to their God. And they said, we're not going to bow down to that thing. We're not bowing down to an idol. We have God as our source. We will bow down and worship him, but we will not bow down and worship the idol. Well, the law was, if you don't bow down and worship the idol, you're going to be thrown into the fire. So Nebuchadnezzar got angry and he said, all right, build that fire up 7 times hotter than it ever was before. And as they did that, it says that he took those three and threw them into the fire. But look what they said before he threw them in. Praise be to God of... Oh, wait a minute. I don't have it there. I apologize. I don't have the right one. Let me look at it. Well, let me tell you. It said that they said, look, we're not going to bow down and worship that. And no matter what you do, if you throw us into the fire, our God can deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, they had full trust and confidence in God to deliver them from it. But if he doesn't, he said, we're still not going to bow down and worship you. We're still not going to bow down and worship you. Just because you think that you can threaten our lives. And trust me when I tell you, there's a whole bunch of stuff going around threatening people around here. We're not going to worship some other God. We're not going to worship some other religious God. Christians are going to stand up and say, no, even if he doesn't deliver us out of this, we're still not going to worship that other God. We're not going to. And this is what he said. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. They trusted in God, and God delivered them out of it. It said he brought them out of that fire. Even their smoke, or even their clothes, were not smelling of smoke. God delivered them because they trusted in God. In Daniel 6, it talks about when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. They threw him into the lion's den. They came back the next day expecting to be eaten. But what happened? God shut up the lion's mouth because Daniel trusted in their God. It affected a whole nation. And Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust him. Job had a place in his heart that said, I trust God even if I die. Paul said it this way, whether I live or die is unto the Lord. He said, I trust God's will to be done. Whatever that will happens to be, I trust in my God. Amen. The key is, my friends, it doesn't change, brothers, sisters. Do you believe God? Do you trust God? Do you trust him? Unbelief is just a saying, okay, I see it, but I don't believe it. And what God says he heals, but I don't believe he does. That's unbelief. You can have faith in God and say, yeah, I believe God can heal, but I don't know if I trust him for me. I don't know if you trust him for me. I know he can do it, but I don't know if I trust him for me. Next time we come together, we're going to talk about why I trust God. How to learn to trust God. And prayerfully, the hope is that we learn the results of trusting in God in our lives. In this day and age, we look around, we look at what's going on in the government, we look at what's going on in politics, we look at what's going on in the financial area, and it's tough, it's hard, it's scary, it's discouraging. But I trust that God is doing something greater than what I can see. God's doing something so wonderful and so great. The end of all things, His will be done. It will. And I trust that God can keep us out from the calamity that's happening, the chaos that's coming, the travail that's coming, and the fear that's coming, the battle that's coming. And possibly, if the Lord should tarry, even the lack that's coming in this world, I trust my God can deliver us out of it all. That's where you have to get to. That's where I've got to get to. Not just say it. And it doesn't happen. Listen, I start going there and I really start focusing on that when I'm all by myself. Not in front of other people. Because I want to be honest with God right in front, but just Him and I. Just Him and I. Nobody else around. Not even Diane. In the morning when I get up early, Him and I. Lord, teach me to trust You. Teach me to trust You. I want to trust You. I want You. Listen, it's hard. The only way you know that you trust Him is when you're in a position where you have to trust Him. And there are places sometimes we just don't want to go there. We don't want to have to go into those places. We're always trying to stay out of those. But how will we know? How will we know until the time comes? How will you know that you fully, completely trust in God? With your very life, maybe, very life, your eternal soul. You can die here, and we all die sooner or later. We all pass if the Lord should tarry. If He comes, praise God, maybe we're taken out. Praise God, I pray that it be so. But if not, if we do, our full confidence and trust in God that He's able and willing and will take us from this to that. That's all that matters. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's all that matters. You notice how summer comes and summer goes? Summer, nice summer, warm, nice days, beautiful. Then winter comes. It's sure to come. I know you don't want to think about it, but it's coming. Our leaving this earth is coming. Some sooner than others. But it's coming. And your trust in God is what keeps you at peace here, knowing that the end is sure to come. That trust in God gives you a peace and a comfort, knowing my Father's got me in His hands. I trust Him to be able to keep me. He will never let me go. I trust Him. That gives you a peace, a comfort, and at times you can laugh at the devil as he's running all around. And the joy, the peace, trusting God, it makes it to be able to get through this mess down here with a hope of glory up there. Amen. Trusting God. Father, we thank You this morning. We give You praise and glory. We thank You, Almighty God, that our faith in You, we believe that You are, Father. You are real. Jesus, we have faith in the Son of God who gave His life that we may have life. And our trust, Father, we want to learn to trust You. Whatever it takes to get us into that place, we pray in the name of Jesus for Your will to be done. We bless You. We give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. All right. Do you have some announcements? My wife has some announcements. My dear Pastor Diane. Yay. And then if you're going.